1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, and I guess it starts with a transition word, so let me back up to verse 6. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. Verse 7. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our very own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and our toil. We worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Father, thank you for your word. Give us understanding, we pray. Lead us by your Spirit, that we may grow, that we may be faithful in our prayers, that we may be focused, and Father, that we may be changed. For your glory's sake, we pray. Amen. We have hit a section in this epistle to those of Thessalonica. Okay, really the entirety of the letter has been this section so far, in which the Apostle Paul is talking about the way the gospel came to those at Thessalonica. Chapter 1 dealt with that. Chapter 2 deals with it from a little bit of a flip perspective. Chapter 1 and the end of chapter 2 is also going to talk about the way those in Thessalonica saw the gospel preached to them and the way they received it. Specifically, that they didn't receive it as the word of men, just another teaching, just an argument, just a dogma, but as it was in truth, the very word of God. And in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, when we came to you, the flip side is also true. We came to you not as though we were just trying to convince you of some wind of doctrine of men, but we came to you trusting this is the very word of God. And so that changes the way they approach them. This is not the way the world would try to approach man-centered things. And so, as we approach verse 7, we see that the Apostle Paul is going to say, we were gentle among you. And in chapter 7, he's going to give one analogy that we're going to look at today. And then later, we're going to see another analogy in the coming weeks. First of all, as it says in verse 7, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. That'll be our subject today. I want you to think about the gospel, because this is one of many descriptions of the way the church is to take the gospel and make disciples of all the nations. It's described in various ways throughout the scriptures. Here it's described like a nursing mother takes care of her own children. It's going to be described later like a father encourages his own children as they grow up, as they mature. And we'll see that description given about the way the church is to engage the culture around us and make disciples of the nations. There are many other ways in which this work is described. Light shining into darkness. Several scriptures refer to the gospel that way. Several books of the Bible refer to the gospel that way. It's also described as soldiers advancing without being afraid of their enemy, even though their enemy would seek their death. It's the way the work of the church is described to go forth and make disciples of the nations. It's also described as if we are ambassadors appealing as though God himself were using us to plead to lost sinners. There's a lot of different ways it's described. At the end of the book of Romans, we saw that the way this love should emanate from God's work within our hearts and shine to others is to show that the God of peace is crushing Satan under our feet. What a description. And ultimately, used time and time again in hearkening back to the very first pages of Genesis. We are to be image bearers of God by making disciples of the nations. And again, a whole other sermon. Maybe we'll get there some other time. But that's what image bearing means. Not the way we look, not the way our bodies are put together. Being ambassadors for our God on the earth that He created. And so let us be prayerful as we approach this subject. Because God has spent much of His word describing for us how we are to be as we engage the world. Verse 7. The description we see today, and again, remember, one of many. This is not alone, the only way that we are to look. Verse 7 says this. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. What a picture. What a description. How much love and care and tenderness and gentleness is found in this description. And the Apostle Paul is putting this forth to them, saying, when we came to you, we came to you and we were gentle among you. Gentle among you. Like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. All right, let's think about this, just the worldly example of itself. Like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. In this picture, a mother wants the very best for her child. In this picture, the mother is caring as best as she can for her child. And dear friends, that enough, that alone should be enough, that we should use that as a descriptive example for us on how we should invest in those whom we take the gospel. You just close the sermon right here and say that that's ministry changing. That is a prayer for us, for the church. For ourselves here at Heritage, for us as individuals, for the church throughout the world, let us be like a nursing mother is caring for her very own child. May that sort of love, that sort of care, that sort of seeking what is best and doing what is needful be emanating from us to those in whom we are trying to share the very gospel of God with. Notice Paul's statement in verse 8. And there's going to be parts of verse 8 that we could take as a whole. And so I could just read all of verse 8. It would all make perfect sense here. But to line it up with verse 7, I'm going to take parts of it at a time. But all of verse 8 could describe all of verse 7. But verse 8 says, so, being affectionately desirous of you. Think about a young mother with her child. Does she have any affection for her child? Think about this picture, this care for her child that has become as important for her as anything else in this world. And in these early moments and early stages of the child's life, the mother is caring, providing for the child. Paul says, so being affectionately desirous of you. And he's carrying on this metaphor, this analogy of a mother caring for her child. It is the only instance of this word in the New Testament. I don't know why I say that. Because I don't know if that's supposed to be impressive. Like, wow, this is the only time it's used in the New Testament. Or if we may say, well, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament. Okay, neither of those things really drive it home, all right? It could be used 3 times, 7 times, 10 times, or 144,000 times. It doesn't matter. It's Holy Scripture. And it's a word God has given to us to understand how we are to make disciples of the nations. Hamoremai. I practiced that, so be impressed. Hamoremai. Only time it's used. It's used right here. It's a word that most often is translated in Scripture outside of Scripture, longing. Longing for someone. Longing from a parent to a child. Longing. Hamoremai. Being affectionately desirous of you, but in the most caring and loving sense. In no sense, some sort of way, is just casual worldly love, like, okay, I want this as long as it's got something in it for me. No, this is like a nursing mother to her infant child. Loving those whom the Lord has brought us to. Consider a mother's love to her child. A mother's love is sacrificial. Even the world acknowledges this. They see and they grant maternity leave because they understand a mother must invest herself in a child at this earliest of age. Mother's love is sacrificial. That's the way Paul viewed his work there. Notice again in verse 8, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but what? Also our own selves. See how Paul didn't treat this as just some doctrine of men. This changes everything. This is not the way the world operates. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our very own selves. And then in verse 9, for you remember, brothers, our labor and our toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. I can't even fathom what Paul's life was like on these missionary journeys. I can't get my mind out of just even having Google Maps to direct him to the next town, let alone not having car, plane, train, automobile, or anything like that to get there. Not having an ATM card. ATM machines. Not having a credit card to say, yeah, just bill my bank. No, he traveled under persecution, being chased out of one town to another. And then when he came, doing this because of the love of God to take the gospel to all nations, arriving there and then finding a way to make enough to eat without being a burden to the very people he came to. Sacrificial love. We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. A mother's love is sacrificial. And the applications of this are both personal, and they also apply to the larger view of the church as a whole throughout the world. Personally, let's think about this. What about ourselves? And anybody would like to come up and say, I model this perfectly, we would love to have this, and I'll look to you. I say that not because I doubt that any of you could model it personally, but I don't think any of us would view ourselves in that way, would we? In other words, we all understand this is an area we need to grow in. This is not for one person versus another. This is not saying everybody is there or everybody absolutely stinks at this. This is just a prayer for us to engage in. Father, help us to be gentle among the flock, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, being affectionately desirous of one another. Lord, help us to be this way. Lord, change us to be this way. What about me? Am I investing in the lives of others for the glory of God? Lord, grant me love that sacrifices my time, my finances, and my strength for the good of theirs. Again, we could stop here and go home and spend a season of prayer, couldn't we? there is a challenge also for us to be praying for the body of Christ. This again is a far cry between the temptation that will go on in the church to just look around and criticize the church around us. To just look at them and be like, yeah, that's right, pastor's really getting into some stuff here that we are free of, and then, oh yeah, let's just condemn it. None of that can enter our minds right now. As a mother's love is sacrificial. Sacrificial. We use that word too flippantly, don't we? As a mother's love is sacrificial, so should the church's work be sacrificial. Our faith is not to be a business. Okay? Our faith is not to be a business. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't to be money brought in and money that goes out, that there aren't budgets, etc. A family has that. Family's not a business, all right? There's responsibility, there's stewardship. Businesses are worried about the financial standing more than the people. Think about that. They move themselves to places where they can make more money. They bring in the people that can benefit the business, and they rid themselves of those who are a drag on their bottom line. Our faith is not to be a business. For the glory of God, we must pray for the church and for the impact that the church can have, so that we would not find ourselves viewing the church as a business instead of a mother nursing her own child by making disciples of all nations. For the glory of God, we must pray for the church, and we must pray for the impact of the church, where we can rid ourselves of that which views the church in this way. As I mentioned before, how many analogies, metaphors, or descriptions of the work of evangelism are given in Scripture? Numerous. Find me one passage that says, like a successful business, none. That's never an analogy. That's never the way we're to view ourselves. Next. Notice in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. This is not a daycare scenario. This is not, okay, let's go out there, let's funnel them in, funnel them out, and then kick her feet up at the end of the day. No. Like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. This is the love of family. This is the love of those who are blessings in our lives. This is the love of belonging to one another. We were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Notice Paul's next statement in verse 8. At the end of the verse it says, because you had become so dear to us. Let me read the whole of verse 8 again. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. How dear to us? Like our own children. That dear to us. What can the gospel do to our hearts? According to this passage, if I'm interpreting this correctly, and I'd like to think that I am, verse 7 and verse 8 go together. And this gentleness, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, was brought about by the effective work of the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of the gospel that leads to a point to where others that we had nothing to do with a year ago have become so very dear to our hearts that we long for them like a mother does for her own child. You have become so very dear to us. Even though the Apostle Paul had just met them, the gospel did something remarkable to this relationship. Gospel faith united them. And this Greek word is not used infrequently. It's used 61 times in the Bible. Again, I don't know why I just mentioned that to you either, because both of these words are important. Every bit is important. Okay, I do know why I put this up. Because you've heard this word in plenty of other places. It's just usually translated differently. And the way this word is often translated? Beloved. Because you had become beloved to us. You know this word well. Because God Himself uses this word. Think about that for a moment. God Himself uses this word. Not just inspired this word. Used this word. Matthew 3:17. Behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God uses this word of His very own Son. And that's the word that Paul says, you have become beloved to us. Now, do we sit back and say, okay, you just said it's used 61 times. Surely in those 61 times, it's used in a variety of ways. And here is God to His Son. And maybe there's another lesser beloved. Maybe there's another way. And so we are relieved from having to worry about that sort of love for others. Romans 1:7. To all those in Rome who are beloved by God. God uses the same word that He uses to describe His own Son, beloved. And He says, we are beloved. The ones who now cry out because God has adopted us as His very own, Abba, Father. First John 3:2. Beloved, we are God's children now. It is a word used over and over again of the love among the saints. This becomes the saints' word for one another. And that's most of the 61 references that you'll see. Beloved. Not just a pastoral address to the congregation between brothers and sisters in Christ. Beloved. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, and so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you have become beloved to us. The church is to reflect the character of God. In our evangelism, in our discipleship, in our growth, in our sanctification, in our fellowship, in every aspect. So a question. I mentioned there's all sorts of things pictured in Scripture that describe the way light is going into darkness. That describe the way in which the kingdom of God is overwhelming the kingdoms of this earth. Can these two things, this gentleness, go hand in hand with gospel advancement? It's not a trick question, but it's one we may not often consider. Gentleness in the advancement of the kingdom. Now, the word gentle here, but we were gentle among you, I was all ready to be like, all right, I've got some passages. Jamie's been reading a book that's so impacted her life. She shared it, I know, with many of you, and I get just blessed by how much she's sharing how it's impacting her life with me, and once she finishes it, I'm going to take it on as well. And it talks about the gentleness and the meekness of our Lord. So I was ready. I'm like, let's go. Here's this word gentle. And then I looked, and it's not the same word. Now, it's in the same realm, so we're okay here. We can do that, right? But the word fascinated me. But we were gentle among you. It's actually the word childlike among you. It's a word that's used in other places in the New Testament. It's just mainly used negatively. 1 Corinthians 3:1, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as children or infants in Christ. It's that word. It's the same word that in Ephesians 4:14 says, so that we may no longer be childlike children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. It's that word. But we were childlike among you. And like a mother, nursing mother, caring for her own child and being so desirously affectionate of you, so much so that we did this not only to give the gospel, but our very own lives. We were childlike among you. Here it's used in a positive light. It's not being used like it is in those passages that I just read, but it's the same word. How? Why? I want you to think about some of the most tender and wonderful passages recorded about our Lord. Do you remember when even our Lord Jesus, lamenting over the sin of Jerusalem, expresses a gentleness interposed even with judgment? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Now listen to this phrase. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers hers under her wings. Hamoremai. The word's not used there, but that's a description of the gentleness that Paul is referring to. The gentleness of our Savior. In Luke 10:21, another passage you'll be familiar with. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Our Lord was both mighty and meek. See that? He brought judgment and mercy. And the sins of that people that he spoke to were no less than the sins of our day. If you wanted to argue, you could probably make an argument in the other direction. If our Lord can express that heart to those people, why would we not be able to carry that same heart into our ministry. Our ministry to one another. Our ministry to the community around us. Our ministry in wherever the Lord would have us be in this world. It's not the only description of the kingdom advancing. There are others. But dear friends, let's not lose sight of this. Let us be image bearers of our risen Lord. Let's pray.